The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Immigration agents were conducting targeted operations in South Minneapolis yesterday afternoon when 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good appeared to block them in with her car. When agents told Good to get out of the car, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem says she tried to run them over, and that's when one of the ICE agents shot and killed Good through the windshield. Within hours of the shooting, hundreds of anti-ICE protesters showed up at the scene, many of them throwing snow and chunks of ice at law enforcement.
It looks like as officers are leaving the scene, having some protesters or bystanders, agitators, throwing some snowballs at them as they leave. We saw this earlier.
We did. Yep, we saw this exact thing earlier, and this was targeted toward ICE agents at that particular time.
It almost seems like that these people are unaware of the fact that we're in the midst of this unprecedented religious revival. People are turning to Jesus. That's kind of what we concluded the last calendar year on. Everyone talking about Jesus, everyone talking about religion. And then, well, here's the reality. It's looking right at us from Minneapolis. It's a troubled state, as we covered last year as well, with all of the Somalian scandal going on, billions and billions of dollars. And now here, Minnesota's leaders doing the best they can to turn this into another George Floyd moment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. It's good to be back. We've had some special features, some subs subbing in for me as well. I got to watch most of the sports montage from, what was that, Tuesday, I guess it was. So that was exciting to see again. Brought back a lot of good memories. But as you also know, I mean, with what Sam covered on Monday regarding Venezuela, Maduro, and I mean, just the sobering events. And with respect to America's big cities, you know, Minneapolis, Portland, Chicago, Los Angeles, it just seems like you have these violent flare-ups every few weeks, every couple months. It's a sign of the times. In one of my lectures over the conference, I referred to these two articles from The Plain Truth way back in the day. There was one from 1957 talking about a religious revival here in the United States. And then another one from 1983, religious reawakening. Is the awakening or the reawakening, is it causing peace to spread? Is it helping us to get along with one another? The Bible has a lot to say about religion, and there's quite a bit in there about fake religion too. So we better be willing to get in and study our Bibles. This article, this is from The Plain Truth back in 1983, as I say. Is modern society really going to get better? A lot of people believe this. A lot of people within the so-called religious revival really and truly do believe that everything's getting better. There's quite a few people in the MAGA movement that believe everything's getting better. Is it? It says you may be in for a shock. What is really going to happen over the next decade or two? Are we going to witness a spiritual revival of brotherly love among men and nations, and therefore a sharp decline in crime, violence, and wars? Or will it be just the opposite? See, back in the day with The Plain Truth, just like we do at The Trumpet, I mean, we tell you to do what Jesus said. You have to judge by the fruits. You have to look at the facts on the ground. And those facts, those fruits, they're everywhere for anyone to see. If you have eyes to see the truth, and if you're willing to come underneath the authority of the Bible, many sincerely religious people are hoping for what they call a religious reawakening in our time. They think that somehow by prayer and zealous efforts, the church-going people can win over the rest of the world to an acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior, and thus bring about peace and tranquility among all men everywhere. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And what are the facts on the ground? This is how Jesse Waters reported on that fatal shooting in Minneapolis yesterday. Clip 3.
Fox News alert, a woman was killed today during an ICE operation in Minneapolis. An ICE vehicle was stuck in the snow, and while trying to push it out, activists began harassing and blocking their path, boxing them onto the street. A woman parked her car, preventing the ICE agents from leaving, and was ordered to exit the vehicle multiple times. Officers attempted to open her door after she wouldn't comply. That's when she backed up her car and gunned it straight at an ICE agent. The agent opened fire on the driver to defend himself.
What the f***? Dude, what the f***?
Christy Noem, who is in Minneapolis today overseeing operations, is describing it as an act of domestic terrorism.
And then you've got the other side taking to the streets, targeting ICE agents, and so many of them white liberals. This is from the Epoch Times. ICE officers in Minneapolis were conducting targeted operations when rioters began blocking ICE officers, and one of these violent rioters weaponized her vehicle, attempting to run over our law enforcement officers in an attempt to kill them, an act of domestic terrorism. That's quoting the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, the Assistant Secretary, I guess it is. An undisclosed number of immigration officers were hurt in the process, but are expected to make full recoveries. And so now, I mean, you've got the footage. Everybody, you've just seen it. Everybody's going to be analyzing it. Everybody's going to be arguing from both sides, and both sides, that they're so extreme. And journalism, for its part, it's completely dead. Completely dead. I mean, here this happens on January 7th. And you've got Walls and Jacob Fry calling for on like war with the federal government. The day after January 6th. And Sam covered some of that with you yesterday. All of these Democrats. All of this just fakery, buffoonery, really, on display. It's a religion. I mean, you talk about a religious revival. We've got a lot of them. A lot of people worship at the altar of St. Floyd or January 6th or ICE is racist. Here they're just trying to uphold the law. And there's people, and lots of them, that prefer lawlessness, disorder, anarchy, war, rebellion. That's right, a lot of people in this so-called religious revival age. There's a lot of people saying, hey, we've got to go to war with Donald Trump, with MAGA, with ICE. Says here in the same article, predictably, protesters are calling Good's death a murder. They don't even wait 2 seconds. With the feckless Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Fry, and the even more feckless Minnesota governor, Tim Walz, demanding ICE cease operations and leave the area. Here's a montage of these two leaders in Minnesota. Clip 8.
Let me be clear. Donald Trump and his administration may not care much about Minnesota. That's been pretty evident. But we love this state. We won't let them tear us apart. We'll not turn against each other. To Minnesotans, I say this. I feel your anger. I'm angry. They want a show. We can't give it to them. We cannot. If you protest and express your First Amendment rights, please do so peacefully as you always do. We can't give them what they want. There's nothing more important than Minnesotan safety. I've issued a warning order to prepare the Minnesota National Guard. We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops. Minnesota will not allow our community to be used as a prop in a national political fight. We will not take the bait, because when we see these types of things happen, and we saw it after the murder of George Floyd, there's folks that want to cause chaos. There's the disruptors in it. And why the vast majority of those protests were peaceful expressions of their First Amendment rights. Well, I said this yesterday. We've never been at war with our federal government. In this case, again, it doesn't necessarily change the mission. They're there to protect Minnesotans. They're there to serve Minnesotans. I think the thing that is so challenging in the moment we're in is we don't see a desire to work with us on public safety. We hear a demonization of our state. We see people coming in who don't know our community. And we see this massive display for the TVs. And so to Minnesotans, don't take the bait. Do not take the bait. Do not allow them to deploy federal troops into here. Do not allow them to invoke the Insurrection Act. Do not allow them to declare martial law. Do not allow them to lie about the security and the decency of this state.
The narrative that ICE is spinning immediately after this was that this was purely self-defense, and that the act by the victim was some sort of domestic terrorism. That, and I'll say it again, is the way they've been conducting themselves is also bullshit.
There's little I can say, again, that'll make this situation better, but I do have a message for our community, for our city, and I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the fuck out of Minneapolis.
There's your Minneapolis mayor. I mean, just even the guys trying to get a montage together. This is a whole separate point. But the amount of profanity, and these are the leaders dropping F-bombs all over the place. That Satan and his influence, it thrives in this kind of an environment. And he'll still talk about religion. I mean, Satan himself is a religious being. Satan is God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He's deceived the whole world, including the world of religion, because this is the world. And you can spend the entire week leading up to Christmas talking about Jesus if you want. But what is it solving? What problems is it removing? Where's the peace breaking out? You've got President Trump saying, hey, we're going to bump up all of the funding for the War Department. Well, he wants a strong military, but as I've said repeatedly, that's happening even as we talk endlessly about peace and religion and Jesus. Satan is on the march. Listen to this summary from Fox News, clip 4.
Get hurt for this, don't get.
Kill someone else!
Don't get killed for this, don't get. Hey, it's not worth it,
Move!
Go another way!
Move!
Go another way!
Move!
Tents in a city that not even 6 years ago was destroyed by political tension, by lawlessness, by agitators. And on that note, not long after that moment you saw on your screen, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey held a news conference where he basically begged for this to be 2026 George Floyd.
I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite.
I have a very simple message. We do not need any further help from the federal government. To Donald Trump and Kristi Noem, you've done enough. There's nothing more important than Minnesotan safety. I've issued a warning order to prepare the Minnesota National Guard. We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops.
It's war, literally. The National Guard, Minnesota's National Guard against the federal government. And of course, what he doesn't say there too is this is a nice little distraction away from the tens of billions of dollars that the federal government, by the way, just funneling into all of these fake Somali businesses. Billions and billions. And these businesses finally being exposed thanks to independent journalism. What an environment, though. I mean, you could, from any angle, you see Satan's influence. PJ Media say assaults on ICE officers are up 1,347%. Assaults on law enforcement officials. So Scarborough can scream about the Capitol Hill police officers that evidently were murdered right and left. Oh, yes. But not much to say on this. 1,347% increase. And the terroristic attack in Minneapolis is the latest example of the dangerous violence that makes the jobs of our brave officers so incredibly risky. Where's the radical left now? Calling for people to respect and support law enforcement like they did on January 6th. I mean, journalism and leadership too. Political will, leadership, it's dead. Here's the Trump administration trying to uphold law and order. And in so many cases, these ICE officials are going after the worst of humanity. You know, people that rape little girls, or that are guilty of murder, or that are distributing drugs on the streets of America. And then you've got all the white liberals running to resist, not the criminals, to resist ICE, to resist law enforcement, to defend the criminals, to defend the indefensible, to defend the illegals, to defend the rapists. Walt said that this is a war on the federal government. That's the governor of Minnesota. He's out there saying these are our troops, not the federal government's. They're our troops. Listen to this from Fox News, clip 15.
Let's look at this live shot that we're seeing right now. We just saw some black vehicle vans moving their way through, and now you see snowballs flying in this group of individuals that are moving. You've got law enforcement in the front of this group that look like they're walking backwards, so they're being pushed, is the way it looks, backwards by protesters who are throwing snowballs at them right now.
Supposing this latest episode of crime, violence, protests, insurrection, supposing it does simmer down for a bit, we'll see. But how much longer before the next one flares up? How much longer before all-out civil war? You've got leaders calling for it right now. They are itching for war. They want war. This is the streets of America. You think it's been difficult for ICE to this point? What will it be like going forward? This was from 6 months ago also, I believe, from Minneapolis, clip 14.
ICE arrest in the Twin Cities is leading to even more charges.
This home security video shows a driver taking off during a traffic stop, dragging a deportation officer with him. New at 10, WCCO's Uba Ali walks us through this video and the political firestorm behind it.
What began as a planned federal immigration arrest took a violent turn in this quiet Bloomington neighborhood. And it was all caught on camera. According to a federal complaint, agents were executing a warrant for 39-year-old Roberto Carlos Munoz. They say Munoz entered the country unlawfully, and he also pled guilty to fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct back in 2023 for abusing a minor. Tuesday morning, agents pulled him over. Court documents say he repeatedly refused to comply before a federal agent took out his spring-loaded window punch with his right hand and broke the driver's side rear window. These images show the officer's hand in the vehicle. In this video, you can see the driver take off with the agent hanging from the car, dragging him 300 feet through front yards. These graphic images show the aftermath. A bloody agent who needed 33 stitches for his significant cuts. And now a political battle with a top Homeland Security official criticizing Governor Tim Walz, posting on X, instead of comparing ICE law enforcement to the Gestapo, Walz should be thanking our brave law enforcement. The Department of Justice says a request for Munoz to be held after that 2022 arrest was, quote, not honored by local authorities, and Munoz was released.
That's perfect. You've got the Somali reporter there in Minneapolis. And they're talking about a crime. The guy was arrested. The feds arrested him. And then the local law enforcement in Minnesota, remember, they're at war with the feds. They just let him go. Yeah, does it? Sexual assault coming in illegal. I mean, this is from 2023, just a couple years ago. And this is what people are taking to the streets in Minneapolis to defend Munoz, I mean. Munoz. Yeah, the 39-year-old assaulted a minor just a couple years ago. Came into the country illegally in 2022 from Guatemala. And you have to wonder why the ICE officials would be a little bit on edge when a woman won't get out of the car, when she starts going forward. They dragged that guy 300 feet. Munoz did. wouldn't obey orders. No, why should you? I mean, they're Trump ICE officials. So you don't have to obey them. You disobey them. You turn out and you just pelt their cars with snowballs and eventually with more, even more dangerous weapons. How about that? And look at what's happened in Minneapolis just in the last 6 years. We're not even 6 years removed from the Summer of Love when the whole city, for the most part, the whole city went up in flames because of these insurrectionists. The Federalist says, forget January 6th. It turns out January 7th might go down as the date when insurrection really arrived in America, not from the MAGA right, but from the anti-Trump left. It's amazing. It's all happening right around the anniversary that the Democrats never want you to forget. Like Sam said yesterday, it's the worst, most violent event in human history. So they say. They are broken. Their reasoning. They worship human opinion. Will worship, the Bible calls it. Colossians 2. Fake narratives. They worship them. The fakery, the phoniness, the lies, the deception. Who's the father of all this? John 8, verse 44. This was Joe Scarborough yesterday. Just pure theater. He is so, and some fake outrage. Oh, he is so upset that the Republicans did not join in on the worship service before the January 6th altar. Clip two.
Mike, you know a thing or two about Capitol Hill cops.
Yeah.
These people are extraordinary, risk their lives every day, and especially on that day.
Yes.
And they risk their lives to save the lives of the very Republicans now who are ashamed to honor their duty and service and sacrifice to America.
No.
Where are these Republicans? Why won't they stand up for the law enforcement officers who stood up to an angry mob who tried to overthrow democracy? Where are these Republicans?
MS Now. Back to the meltdowns. A morning meltdown. Because a Republican didn't come out with the candle. That's a grave sin, I guess, that the Republicans committed. They didn't join in on the worship service. Now, if the illegal from Guatemala drags an ICE agent 300 feet from a car hanging on to the car door, I guess that's not, it gets a little local attention, but it's certainly not going to upset the morning meltdown. Then you switch. These are people that want, they desperately want Judges 21, verse 25. Every man just taking to the streets, doing what seems right in their own eyes. No law and order. You put him in jail. Let him go. Let him out. Just let him out. Release him. And then call in the National Guard because we've got a war with Trump's people. We've got a war with ICE. Then you look at some of the conservative commentary. This doesn't, I guess, apply to the subject here, but just listen to this exchange from Megyn Kelly as she's talking with Tucker, clip 16.
And then came Candace Owens, and that she really drives people crazy. She drives them crazy. They were very angry that I didn't call her out for what she said about Israel possibly being involved with Charlie Kirk. Well, I didn't call her out because I was totally fine with those questions being raised, and still am. I'm sorry, but I am. I'm sick of this. I am allowed to have questions about what if anyone aligned with Israel or from Israel might have had to do with Charlie's death.
Journalism is dead. You can see it. It's just a question. You can ask anything. Candace can ask anything. Well, okay, but what about the evidence? What about the truth? Does that matter? Or are we just going to ask and say anything? And it passes for journalism. It passes for reporting. And then you look at the facts on the ground. And you look at the lives being destroyed, even children's lives. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, I mean, as far as America right now, I mean, you do have a president using authority. He has some king-like authority, and he's restoring some law and order. But look at how much resistance it meets. Look at the fighting. You see just how bitter the affliction was during the Joe Obama years. The Federalist. Top Democrats are agitating for insurrection and political vigilantism. Top Democrats. Even as we pass the fifth anniversary of January 6th, they're just agitating for it. You've got all the Soros groups contributing to the agitation in Minneapolis. They want war. Satan, as I say, thrives in this kind of climate. When asked if the National Guard would be deployed against federal agents or if anything like that has ever happened before, Waltz said, "We've never been at war with our federal government." And at one point, he told Minnesotans, "Do not allow them to deploy federal troops here. You've got to resist." It says, if taken at face value, well, backing up, it says, it's an almost unbelievable series of statements from a sitting governor. If taken at face value, it amounts to a threat to use the Minnesota National Guard for an anti-federal insurrection, something that has never quite happened in American history. So, you know, you see some of the pictures from January 6th the other day. You know, the guy that's carrying the podium. He's carrying the podium between the velvet ropes. And that rises to the level of World War III in MS Now's mind, in Joe Scarborough's mind. And meanwhile, we defend rapists. Yeah, illegals, drug pushers, crime, violence, looting, vandalism. Does Minnesota have to go up in flames again for us to see that? I don't know if this so-called religious revival is healing our wounds. I'm not sure it's bringing us all together. I'm not sure it's helping to solve the problems of this world. Now, you look into the Bible and you see how it describes the latter days. Jesus compared it to the time before the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah. Paul described it in great detail in 2 Timothy 3. And it's happening. I mean, it proves the authenticity and how correct the Holy Bible is. And we've gone through all the verses about human nature and God's assessment of this world. God does not look at this present evil world and say, you know what, I think a religious revival will make things a lot better. God looks at this world and sees sickness. He sees disease. He sees hatred. He sees resentment. He sees all kinds of hostility to authority. He sees division. It says here, if Walls actually follows through with the threat, it will be an open act of sedition. In that case, the moderate response would be to immediately arrest Walls, federalize the Minnesota National Guard, and declare martial law. Is Walls radical and clueless enough to actually do this? You know, in another time, Walls and the mayor, the crazy mayor, they'd both be arrested. For sedition, for insurrection, for what they said yesterday. But not now, not in this climate. You know, in the next coming months, we're going to be talking about America's birthday. And you're going to hear from one side, you're going to hear about how great America is, how great our roots are, how healthy it is to have this you know, political division. To be able to talk about anything, to ask any question, even if it's crazy, even if it's deranged, even if it's promoting conspiracy theories. Well, just remember, If you get caught up in the hoopla of America's 250th birthday, take a good look at America. I mean, I love America. I'm American. I was born in America. I'm an American citizen. I love American history. I love learning about the founding fathers. But America is dying. America is sick. And that's very sad to see. And yet it also, it's right in alignment with Bible prophecy. It certainly is. God says there's a sickness that's set in, and it's leading to captivity. It's leading to war. And no one, they're calling for it in Minnesota. And yet I guess we just kind of dust off and carry on with the next news cycle, whatever that will be tomorrow or the next day or this weekend. Frey and Walls are making these statements based on videos everyone has seen. At the time they made them, they had no special knowledge or facts about what happened beyond what the rest of us had. To deploy this kind of maximal incendiary rhetoric in a city and a political climate as volatile as Minneapolis is tantamount to begging for riots and mob violence from anti-ICE mobs. They're begging for violence. Minnesota's leadership. They're begging for political vigilantism. Keep in mind, they're doing this because they don't want the Trump administration to enforce existing immigration law. That's why they're doing this. They don't want immigration law to be enforced, to be upheld. They want lawlessness. They want disorder. Look at how those Somali businesses were benefiting from that kind of environment. Stealing from the U.S. taxpayer billions of dollars. Satan thrives in that kind of an environment. This is an independent journalist in Minneapolis. He's on with Fox News, clip 5.
Well, the reason that I have to do this live shot from here instead of within the actual area where their confrontation is taking place right now is because there's a snow mound, and it's very difficult for people to figure out where I'm doing this live shot from because Minneapolis police have pulled out, right? They will not save me. It's much like Portland. If I were to be attacked, they'd probably arrest me instead. And that's a scary thought. It's like, it feels like anarchy a little bit, and it's still early in the day. It's like 3:26 in the afternoon. We just got word that a protest is being planned at the federal building. And that's going to be taking place after dark. That's when things really, really get bad in areas like this. That's when we saw in like 2020, all of this stuff, like the Summer of Love after George Floyd, it was the same mayor and the same actions that were being taken, where they take the police out of the area and people are allowed to run the streets wild. I actually couldn't even get to the place where I wanted to do this hit from because a lot of these anarchists now have the roads blocked and police are nowhere to be found. It's devolving, man.
It feels like anarchy. Yeah, Frey, he's just telling the Minneapolis police, stand down. You've got to turn the streets over to the anti-ICE protesters. And if it turns violent, so be it. They're itching for war, for violence. They're agitating for anything violent. Mob violence. Keep in mind, they're doing this because they don't want the Trump administration to enforce existing immigration law. This article at The Federalist. Democrat elected officials, not just in Minnesota, but across the country, have decided that because they don't want federal immigration laws to be enforced, it's okay to urge people to interfere, harass, assault, and impede ICE. Just like they did during the Summer of Love. I mean, we've got to be violent to make our voices heard. What a nightmare some of that was. The only time, by the way, that it was appropriate to, you know, take the mask off. I mean, you got a riot. You don't want to, actually put on the mask. That way you can conceal your identity. What kind of a bizarre world was that in 2020? And here, a lot of the usual suspects, they reappear. Here comes Jacob Frey again. And he's issuing these profanity-laden decrees to fight ICE, to go to war with the federal government. Listen to this. I think it's the same exchange, clip six.
But the mayor is the one giving those orders, telling them to bail out and leave. So a lot of these police officers want to be able to enforce the law and keep the people in all the... This is a residential area. These people feel very unsafe down here right now because it feels like anarchy.
Oh, I have to wonder how the homeowners feel after seeing what happened to the storefronts and businesses of Minnesota just less than six years ago, how those homeowners in that area feel.
We're only blocks away from where the George Floyd situation happened, where if you still go there nowadays, the buildings are still charred. They're still, I mean, it still looks like total destruction, just like it did back then. It's never recovered. And people are worried that that's going to happen again. And all signs point to them wanting it to happen again.
Not even 6 years removed from it. You feel for the people of Minneapolis. Remember that black woman that was sobbing because she didn't have transportation and the Target or whatever it was, the store burned to the ground where she shopped frequently, living on a fixed income. And all of these soldiers, foot soldiers for the radical left, just burning the city down, burning her city down. And now they want more of it. They're not even but a few blocks away in some cases, these protesters, where the St. Floyd incident happened. Satan preys on these kinds of radical, out of control emotions. And you've got the leaders there just stirring it up. Yeah, worshiping their opinion. How does everyone benefit from this in the end? I mean, you can certainly applaud President Trump for trying to uphold immigration law. But still, you look at the debate, it'll be on the news cycle for the next maybe the next couple days. Unless the violence turns worse, we'll see. But we'll be arguing. You know, was the officer, you know, was he right to shoot that woman? Did he have a quick trigger? Was she really about to run him over? Was she in the right? Is that how you're supposed to resist? Is that appropriate with respect to protesting? Is Donald Trump, is he right to send in ICE officials to go after Munoz? Is Tim Walz right to call in the National Guard and to say, hey, this is our army? Nobody wins in that environment. Everybody loses. My father wrote in 2020 about race riots. Talks about the book of Isaiah. He says it's for the descendants of ancient Israel, speaking of us. And he quotes Isaiah 1 and verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it's desolate as overthrown by strangers. Devoured by strangers. Overthrown. I mean, here this rapist is arrested in 2023, and then Jacob Frey's people just release him right away. Sure. Yeah, go right back on the streets. Go back to the lawlessness that you were practicing before. And it doesn't matter that you're illegal. I mean, look, whether you're from Guatemala, Somalia, just come on in, and there are handouts for everybody. And all of that, I mean, given the Somali scandal, given perfect cover, because of, you guessed it, COVID. COVID, yeah, we've got to relax the regulations and just let the federal government send in the billions and billions. Now, they can't send in the ICE officials, no, or law enforcement. No. Just the money to the illegals. Neither side, this is what my father says, neither side is going to win the coming civil war. People on both sides may think they will win, but no one will. No one wins. The title of that article, Race Riots Were Prophesied. They were prophesied. You can see it in Ezekiel 4, Ezekiel 5, Isaiah 1, as I just read. Every man doing what seems right. Every party doing what seems right. Every cable station doing or proclaiming or reporting what they think is right. Asking any question. I mean, there are no bounds. There are no rules. It's a free-for-all, you see. Who wins in that kind of an environment? Look at what has become of America today. One British journalist, my father says, brutally said that recent events have exposed America as a failed state. It's talking about the summer of love. And here you've got leaders today openly calling for more of that. Let's show the world that we really and truly are broken and sick. We exposed a bit of that in the summer of 2020. It says here, it is surely impossible to view the U.S. at this point as anything other than a burning city on a hill, which evokes only desire for our own society to avoid its fate. My father says, he's quoting from somebody, but he says, that's sad, but true. Our founders wanted to make America a shining city on a hill, but we have become a burning city on a hill before the world. So, you know, we've got to give you the truth. As we come up to our nation's 250th birthday, it's not exactly a shining city on a hill. Not like the founders intended it to be. We're exposing our sickness before the whole world. This article at Fortune magazine, the $38 trillion national debt is one thing 82% of Americans agree on. Americans are concerned about this. Not the leaders, not DC, not politicians. But 82% of voters agree that lawmakers must spend more time addressing the national debt. You think that's going to happen? $38 trillion. As the United States enters 2026, the national mood regarding the country's balance sheet is sour. Following a tumultuous 2025 marked by historic government shutdowns and record spending, this is the first year of President Trump's second term now. Just completed it. 2025, record spending. A new report indicates that the vast majority of the electorate is demanding immediate legislative attention to the nation's financial health. The nation is financially sick. It is. That's the reality. Over at the Epoch Times, President Donald Trump on January 7 proposed, this is yesterday, proposed increasing the Pentagon's budget to $1.5 trillion in 2027, saying it would give the United States its dream military, the dream team, the dream military, during what he described as a very troubled and dangerous time. What? I thought peace was breaking out. I thought we had religious revival. I thought young people were accepting Jesus in droves. And in the midst of all that, we need a dream military. We certainly do. The New York Times. Trump proposes huge increase in military spending. Huge! He proposed Wednesday increasing military spending next year by more than half, raising the defense budget in 2027 to $1.5 trillion. This will allow us to, this is quoting President Trump, this will allow us to build the dream military that we've long been entitled to, and more importantly, that will keep us safe and secure regardless of foe. Yeah, we're just like they're doing in Europe, in Germany, it's to keep us safe. It's to keep us secure. We'll never really use it. He was asked last week, by the way, President Trump, Are you seriously considering, you know, selling F-35s to Turkey? He said, yeah, yeah. He told a reporter, yeah, but don't worry. They'll never use it on us. That's the thinking. Peace derangement. We're building the biggest military, the most powerful. It's a dream military. We're going to up the budget by half. Well, Germany's doing the same thing. China's doing the same thing. So where's this leading? It says here, in absolute terms, this is the New York Times, a $600 billion increase in military spending is an enormous rise. It's more than the entire defense budget, $582 billion, proposed by the Obama administration in 2016. And meanwhile, as I read, $38 trillion in debt. In Europe, God calls it a boiling pot. Here, the United States, spend, spend, spend. My father says, this is from an article back in 2013, says, few people recognize the real cause behind the world problems we see today. Even fewer recognize where events are leading and what is about to happen. We're blind. We have our heads buried in the sand to the reality of the world we're living in. Listen to this classic clip from Herbert Armstrong. I'm not sure about the date here, but this is clip 9.
World-famous scientists have been saying now for the past 10 years and more, I would say for the last 20 years, they have been saying that our only hope is one world government, having one military force, where there are no armies in other nations that could come to war, only the one nation, no world wars of any kind. But, brethren, they overlook something. We still wouldn't have peace among ourselves. What about the home and the family relationship? It's on the way down and out in the United States, in Britain, in Europe, in the entire Western world, and the rest of the world is following a little bit slower after us.
Total breakdown in family, the home relationship, Britain, America leading the way, all of this dysfunction. Whether you look at it on the local level, state level, federal level, family level, community level. Nuclear warfare is near, my father wrote. This is from December 2013. If you don't have a Trumpet subscription, there's no cost, no obligation. Just call our operators today and request a one-year subscription to the Trumpet, and you'll get the truth. You'll get tomorrow's news today. You'll get the prophetic news that you need to just understand the world, why it is the way it is. My father says it's prophesied over 100 times in Bible prophecy, and you can prove it. But will you believe God, or will you wait until it's too late physically to even respond to God? Will you wait until it's too late to respond? There is a famine of the word coming. That's in the book of Amos. It's discussed over there. My father says here, meanwhile, Americans pick up the remote and flip channels to see who's playing on ESPN. As they distract themselves, this world is about to explode. Man is about to set the world on fire. That's what we're seeing. You're seeing the spirit of anger and resentment, hostility to authority. You're seeing 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5 on full display. And I mean, even that passage talks about fake religion or a form of righteousness or a form of godliness. But they deny the power of God. They don't submit to the authority of God. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. That's 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. It's time we put our noses into the Bible and see what God has to say about this world and another world that will soon replace it at the return of Jesus Christ. That's all we have time for on today's show. It still is the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.